I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Multiple locations in El Paso. Open 365, 24/7, because cravings don't have a curfew. Usually we're coming to you live at a late night spot here for Minor Talk. But hey, it's dinner time right now. So if you're looking for a place to stop by, choose Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. You could choose from their all day breakfast menu, their delicious dinner menu as well, and perfect place. Open 24/7, like I mentioned, because cravings don't have a curfew. The Miners got their first ever road victory tonight, 70-69 over Delaware. It was a big win here for the Miners to just get a win on the road. I was kind of speculating earlier this year, could UTEP go winless on the road? This was definitely, if they were looking for one to do it, it was this one here tonight against a team in Delaware who looks to be at the bottom of Conference USA. If you want to talk about it with us, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get into the program. 600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next. 600ESPNElPaso.com. Shout out to Thomas Adams Apparel, one of our other sponsors here on Minor Talk. They just launched our new blue Minor Talk hats. We've got some awesome things cooking up with this one. So details coming up soon here on the program with us on Minor Talk. But the blue Minor Talk hats are in stock right now, and we will let all of our listeners know how they get a chance to get their hands on those as well. Miners eke out a victory, 70-69. There were so many different points in this one where I was marking late in the stretch where I was like, uh-oh, if they lose, it's going to be because Caleb Blackwell rushed into this three, or uh-oh, if they lose, it's going to be because, you know, the Miners weren't able to get a shot off late down the stretch, or because they burned too many timeouts, or because they fouled Delaware down the stretch. But it ended up being a 1-1 for Hauser for the last free throws instead of him getting three shot attempts. It's funny, Sal, like he goes up there and they were like motioning the challenge, but they were out of timeouts. The Blue Hens were out at that point, and Conference USA refs are going to do what Conference USA refs always do, and that is make bad calls, make bad decisions. But in this time, it favored the Miners, and it didn't favor UTEP throughout the game. 21 free throws for Delaware tonight compared to 9 for UTEP. So for the Miners to eke out this victory, they're going to jump on that bus as fast as they can, Sal. Get out of Delaware now, because they made out like bandits. They stole that game in a big way.
Yeah, no, they definitely did, and it's crazy. We had JT Money with us during the broadcast, you know, showing him the ropes here for the basketball stuff. But no, throughout the whole game, it was back and forth. The Miners were fighting for it, and it felt like this was a hard-fought win no matter who was going to come out on top. You kind of hate to see it go out that way, but I mean, hey, when you've been on the other side plenty of times, it feels good to see it work out in UTEP's favor today, though.
It does. I mean, for UTEP, they needed this win in biggest way possible. They're 6-11, and we uncovered this earlier. We were texting about it, and we can get into this later on the program at 915-505-6009. It's a 10-team Conference USA tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. There are 12 teams in Conference USA. If I'm doing the math, there's two teams who are not making the conference tournament in Huntsville, Alabama. UTEP cannot miss out on the league tournament in their final year in Conference USA. I mean, that sounds like a poetic way for it to go out. Like, they don't even make the final, you know, tournament when it's all said and done, but it can't happen this way. It just simply can't. And now UTEP gets themselves in a better position. They were at the bottom with Delaware in Conference USA, 1-4, both of them checking into this game at 5-11, and Miners get the win. So now they improved to 2-4 in league play, and they fall into this like low tier of Conference USA teams that include Sam Houston, New Mexico State, Florida International. Those teams are all 2-4. La Tech, by the way, they're 3-3. They're not good. They're a bad team, and they beat a good Middle Tennessee squad yesterday, Sal, by a slim margin. They shot less than 38% from the field. They shot less than 8% from beyond the arc. and they still managed to pull off that victory last night against Middle Tennessee. So what I'm telling everybody is, this year, last year we praised Conference USA. Hey, it's a competitive league. You know, teams are pretty good. This year, it's top heavy. This is a bad conference right here, Sal.
No, it definitely is. Just watching pretty much collapse after collapse, and you don't even got to put on film of the same team. Just throw it on some different games. You see a lot of teams blow games in mysterious ways, and you wonder, yep, this is why Conference USA stays the way that it stays. It's good basketball if there's like a sickos for basketball. I don't know what the equivalent would be, but no, man, night in and night out, you're going to get some blunders. And today, Adrian, though, with UTEP and Delaware, it felt like the opposite of a blunder. It was good all the way through. I hate to see it end on a call like that, but it doesn't feel as much controversial as maybe I'm thinking it out to be.
Well, I would just say this, Sal. When it comes to UTEP basketball, getting a victory tonight was a must for them. They absolutely needed this win because, you know, if they didn't get this one on the road, I maybe look at New Mexico State, possibly. I don't look at any of these other games. Maybe Sam Houston, you know, maybe a team like Jacksonville State, you could steal one away, or Kennesaw State. You know, their best players obviously facing a lot of trouble right now after today's indictment in college basketball, Simeon Cottle. But nonetheless, I mean, this was the night to do it. If you're going to steal one on the road, it's against Delaware. It's against an inferior team, against a team that doesn't have, you know, more than 10 scholarship players on their roster. This is when you do it, Sal. You make it happen here in this game, and that's what the Miners did. Even though it didn't look pretty at times, and even though, you know, maybe some controversy to close out that game as well.
And the interesting part too, Adrian, is in a couple weeks you're going to get a rematch between the two. So I'm pretty sure Delaware's not going to forget the way that this game ended. So, you know, 2 weeks from now you're going to get somebody who you just went up against tonight, who throughout the game looked in decent form, respectable form, and the Miners looked in respectable form too. Was a good game through and through. So you hope that it's going to be another good game at the end of January.
UTEP Zay checking in. Kasim the Dream Watson leads UTEP to their first win, road win, since February of last year. I didn't realize it was that long, Sal. February of last season is the last time UTEP has to, or, you know, had that road victory under their belt. I look all the way back last year to their win against La Tech on the road, 69-47. That's the last time UTEP had a road victory. So there you go. Good stuff, Zay. What do you think of Kasim the Dream? You're the nickname guy. What do you think of Kasim the Dream?
No, I love it. It's clean. It's Kasim the Dream. No, I love it. And also, too, we have the creator of that nickname. He just stepped in the booth, so
nice.
We got Zay in the house. Yeah.
All right, Zay Galindo, he's with us, third member, third co-host here on the program of Miner Talk. We're just getting things started. 915-505-6009. Zay, a couple weeks ago, you know, I was thinking, is this Kasim's team? And it's a trio of guys who really step up night in and night out. It's Kasim Watson, it's Jamal West Jr., and it's Elijah Jones. Tonight, in front of all his family, Elijah Jones goes 5 of 14. Maybe his worst game, right, of this season offensively, but he still impacts it on both sides of the ball, and he still finds a way to really help and contribute. Jamal West Jr. at one point was 6 for 6. He finished the game 7 of 9. He could have probably shot more, but he was actually deferring down the stretch, and he had 3 assists and 10 rebounds, by the way, quietly. So he has a double-double in this one. But, Zay, it's hard to overlook this stat line right here. 37 minutes of action, 20 points, 7 for 17, including 3 made three-pointers. He had 8 total rebounds, flirted with a double-double, right? 1 turnover, 1 block, and that is Kasim Watson, who, by the way, finished the first half with only 3 points. That's your guy right there, Zay.
He sure is. I mean, in the beginning of the year, he was my first pick in the fantasy draft. Like, I bet everything on this guy, and it was not looking good for me. I mean, he had a rough start to the year. He wasn't hitting much from beyond the arc, but I'd say, you know, ever since the Hawaii game on, like, this has been his team. Like, I'm really starting to feel like down the stretch we're going to see him kind of take charge. This is another 20-point performance. I know last game it was a bit of a down, but before that it was back-to-back 20-point performances. I mean, this guy, he's finding his groove and heading back to Delaware. He played at Delaware State, so actually, I don't know the geographics of Delaware. I was going to say down the street. But, yeah, I mean, this is a big win, and he had that big N1 to give UTEP the lead. They didn't look back after that.
Dover, Delaware is where we're talking about Delaware State University, and Newark is where we're talking Delaware. And by the way, Zay, down the street, I think it's a pretty fair assessment. 47 minutes, what do we think, Sal? I think that's that you know, maybe down the street right there.
Yeah,
for them,
sure.
It's probably like cross the state. But here, you know, in West Texas, El Paso, where we've got to drive 45 minutes to see New Mexico State, I feel like that's right up the street. I feel like that's pretty fair to say.
It's definite. It's probably like halfway or so of it. If we had to put it like in El Paso terms, it's probably like Sunland Park to Zaragoza. I don't know.
There
something
you go.
Like that. Maybe somewhere in that park. Like, still in the same area, but man, I'm looking at it right here, too. Mine says 23.4, but maybe that's being gracious with something else. I don't know.
Hey, how about this, Sal? You're going to like this one right here. David Van Dyke and Stephon Jackson in attendance for this matchup right here. And, you know, Stephon Jackson, he's a Philly guy. So not too far for him to come out from Philadelphia to Newark. And for David Van Dyke, who made the trip as well and was in the area, got a chance to be there with about 250 Miner fans in attendance, according to head coach Joe Golding. I like that. A little road love for the Miners in this matchup.
That's the cool part about it, and a lot of those fans who are out there right now, you know, big time in UTEP's heyday, right? That's kind of like the big moment of it. Like, of course, you have 66, but going to the 80s, like, that's their mark. That's what they know, and that's what a lot of alumni are now. So just reminds me of Big East basketball. I don't know. I know it's kind of cliche to say because it's Delaware, it's East Coast, but it had that kind of gritty feel today, though.
Zay, the fact that the Miners are getting fans in Delaware, does that make you want to stay in this conference?
Yeah, of course it does. You know what? I'm ready to head over to Delaware myself. It might be down the road from El Paso.
Yeah, only 2,000 miles plus down the road from El Paso. By the way, I did the Google Maps earlier today, and just to see the thing that said, Sal, like, instead of like 23 hours, you know, if you're talking about a really far trip, road trip or something like that, it said like 1 day and 16 hours or some crazy stuff like that. But 2,059 miles separate both campuses of UTEP and Delaware. How these two teams are in the same conference, I have absolutely no clue.
Well, is it truly Conference USA if it's not all of USA or at least multiple time zones?
There you go. There you go. It's got to be multiple time zones. And hey, it's a win in the Eastern time zone right there, Sal.
I love it. That's how you close out a conference here.
Yeah, just the wrong sport right there. Instead of football, it's men's basketball. 915-505-6009, along with Sal and Zay. I'm Adrian. We're just getting things started here on Miner Talk. We want to talk with you about this one. 600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next, and 600 ESPN El Paso on our app. You could chat with us in real time, and we'll mention your post here on Miner Talk as well. Let's start things off with Pinky, who's getting in on the program. That is Jaime Pinky Arieta. Great to see UTEP men's basketball win on the road. Keep it rolling. Finally, hashtag Miner Talk. Also checking into the program, a lot of different people, like UTEP News, who throughout the game was very upset at the fact that Trey Horton is still, you know, playing significant minutes. I'll get your guys' take on this one right here, guys. Trey Horton back in the mix, 18 minutes off the bench. He misses both buckets. He's 0 for 2, kind of easing back into things. 2 rebounds, 2 assists in 18 minutes of action. You look at L.A. Hayes, a guy who last weekend outplayed everybody in that backcourt, really, other than Caleb Blackwell, I guess, who was maybe on par with Hayes. But you could make the argument that Hayes had the best weekend of anybody in that backcourt for UTEP, and he only played 4 minutes tonight. He was 4 minutes off the bench, had one foul and taken out right away. He had one shot attempt as well, went 0 for 1. A lot of zeros on the board for L.A. Hayes. Zay, can you explain this one to me?
I can't. You know, I don't know why Trey Horton was playing over L.A. Hayes. He had you said it perfectly. He had a great weekend, and I feel like he earned himself some playing time. I mean, I know he didn't have the greatest game against Western, but that Middle Tennessee game, like, he is one of the main reasons he won. He had 10 points, 10 rebounds, and even against Western, I mean, he was getting buckets. So I'm a bit confused, but hey, you know, it ends up working out in the end, I guess.
I think so. I mean, I guess so, right? Because the one thing that you will say is that Trey Horton does help them out defensively, and he did play some late game minutes for UTEP, especially when this was kind of like hanging in the balance. And I'll be honest, I mean, when Delaware had a lead late in the game, we're talking like less than 10 minutes left, Trey Horton was getting some rebounds. You know, he only had two, but he was getting those rebounds at critical times. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll say this, though, Sal. Like, L.A. Hayes, I thought he played his way into more minutes other than four off the bench, but maybe he just had a bad week of practice, and maybe that's the reason why UTEP decided to go with more minutes to K.J. Thomas, more minutes to guys like Trey Horton, who is just back in the mix this game.
Yeah, I think also, too, as far as Trey being out there more, maybe just better flashes in practice. I mean, who knows? I'm confused too as far as why Hayes didn't get as many minutes, but now with Horton, man, I think it's kind of just in a game where it's back and forth and it's somebody who's familiar with the pattern of that specific game, you probably don't want to lose that kind of that fluidity, so to speak.
A couple other tweets to get to. Enrique Ortiz on the program, and the Cardiac Kids pull it out and get a win for UTEP men's basketball. How about the Miners? Hashtag Miner Talk. This is coming in from Poncho. As hard as Joe Golding tried to throw this game away by not giving L.A. Hayes more minutes, the players pulled out the win and proved that they are the tallest midget. Are two wins in a row on the road possible? Hashtag Miner Talk. I'm going to say no, guys, and an emphatic no, right? It's Liberty. Hey, there's not many more Liberty games, Zay. There's not many more times that you could have this hate matchup right here, but the Miners will have it come on Saturday, and it's a 1 o'clock Mountain Standard Time tip-off, but the Flames have been as hot as ever right now, no pun intended. They just squeezed out a victory themselves against New Mexico State, 73-71, but they've got a win streak under their belt. They've won 8 in a row on their side, including a win against Dayton in non-conference play. Tell me what you see about or with this Richie McKay squad here, Zay.
Yeah, they return a lot. Obviously, they lose Talon Peter from last year, the guy who kind of exploded onto the scene, and he's really one of, I think he was one of the main reasons that they won this conference. I mean, he was great last year, but they lose him. Besides that, you know the names, Caden Matheny, Zach Cleveland, all those guys are back for, who knows, this is like the seventh year I think they've been in college. But jokes aside, UTEP has gone on the road to Lynchburg and won in back-to-back games. I mean, UTEP doesn't win a lot of back-to-back road games against anybody, and UTEP is the only Conference USA team to have two wins in Lynchburg.
Wow, that's a good one. I didn't know that. That's a really good stat. Wow, great one, Zay. Everybody needs to just look up the name Caden Matheny. If you're listening to us on our podcast, or if you're not listening to us live here, or if you are listening to us live, just pause this right now or take a minute, pull out your phone and Google Caden Matheny. You'll get a shiver down your spine and you'll know exactly what I mean. Or Google, no, I've got a better one for you. And this one's for you, Sal. I got a better one for you. Forget Caden Matheny. Just delete him out the search. Look up Colin Porter. Oh my gosh. If I have to see that headband one more time in a Don Haskins Center or in anything, which by the way, I just did the KenPom research on somebody like Colin Porter. He has played UTEP over three different seasons. So after this year, it will be six matchups against the Miners. And man, I mean, is there a guy who's more hateable right now than a guy like, Colin Porter? I mean, he's the guy for me. Zach Cleveland, whatever. You know, Caden Matheny, he's terrible too. But Colin Porter, when I see that headband out there, when I see that 5'10 guard who just splashes threes like no other, it's just frustration, pure frustration watching this guy. Like, I can't, when we do our at the end of the season, Sal, when you do the all CUSA players or, you know, the guys who kind of stand out and we all can remember, for me, Colin Porter is atop that list right there, and Caden Matheny, both those guys.
Yeah, and they happen to be teammates too, and that's the exact tough part, is that those guys, they play so well together, and you know, you've seen it these last couple of years in Conference USA. But what I love about it too is just the way that they kind of look at the fans too after they make a shot, and
yes,
they kind of interact with it too. So I'm gonna miss it, man. I'm gonna miss good Conference USA rivalries here. So
this is like one of the few ones outside of New Mexico State that you can actually get excited about. UTEP versus Liberty.
I'm going to take it back, kind of way back, actually. I don't know if you guys remember. Was it Wendell McKines? Is that how you say it?
Wow.
From New Mexico State. And he would even like tweet at the fans. He would tweet some bad stuff like go run in traffic or whatever the case was. But
I
could not. And that was peak rivalry on Twitter. So you definitely love to see it. Let's keep it going, man. But that headband is ridiculous, man.
Zach Cleveland, Caden Matheny, and Colin Porter, all three together, are 2-2 against the Miners. Does that bode well for them, Zay? I mean, maybe so. Maybe that bodes well for the Miners that Liberty's going to get one of these, but the Miners could also get one on their side.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this series history, okay, no team at home has won. So the home team has never won. The home team has never won in this series. Liberty has come into El Paso, beating the Miners twice. And UTEP has gone to Lynchburg and beaten Liberty twice. And then they've both beaten each other in the Conference USA tournament. I mean, this is literally like, this is a great rivalry. And I feel like every time these things, you know, kind of spurt up in Conference USA, then a team leaves. Like, UTEP had it with North Texas, especially in basketball. Like, those games were getting a little bit more competitive. The UTSA ones, those were always good games. They left. The Rice games, when both teams are kind of bad, like, those were always some really fun games. And now you get it with Liberty, and now UTEP's the one leaving. So, you know, it's sad, but I'm not going to miss, you know, Liberty coming to the Don Haskins Center with their 50 managers, support staff, you know, hype up men, whatever it is. They have to bring extra chairs. It goes into like where the photographers sit. Like, that's how many people they bring. I'm definitely not going to miss that. And I definitely will not miss the headband. I will not miss, you know, I think I don't like Matheny more because he's better. Like, I think Caden Matheny is better than Colin Porter.
Oh, yeah, because Matheny's going to drill the threes, but Porter's going to talk all the smack. That's the problem. That's the problem.
I don't – you know what? I dislike all three of them, and that's hard for me to say because I love Conference USA hoopers. Like, I like them all. And so for me to dislike you, like, you have to really be really good or really annoying, and they're both.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland at least is the guy you kind of forget about, right? Like, Zach Cleveland, he's the finesse guy. He scores 20 or he scores 15 and you don't even think about it. He gets to the free throw line. He's not going to really, like, wow you, but his athleticism will. He's probably the best player in Conference USA or atop that list of best players in this league. And even last year, he's probably one of the best players, if not the best player in CUSA. You know, so they've got talent all across the board, and they're hateable, you know, when it comes to UTEP games. I like the Rice mention right there as far as Conference USA matchups, but like Delaware, I mean, UTEP's traveling far to Lynchburg, Virginia to take on Liberty, and they still have developed this kind of rivalry with the Flames. To your point about, and for all the listeners who are catching this and hearing Zay reference the amount of staffers that Liberty brings, I just want to harp on that quickly and say that that hierarchy must be ridiculous, right? Because you have Richie McKay, who's been at this sport for a long time, revered in the sport as well, and he's got like 20 cronies around him who are like assistant coaches. What's that hierarchy look like, Zay? Like, can you imagine being the low man on the totem pole? You're probably like a video coordinator's assistant. Like, you're chopping up the video before the video guys even look at the video. That's probably the hierarchy of a crazy coaching staff like that.
There's probably like a student, there's probably like a graduate assistant's assistant, like the secretary to the graduate assistant there. Like, I kid you not. And, you know, Richie McKay, He's a good coach, you know, and there is a picture of me and Rich McKay out there somewhere. Like, I still have it. I still have it. I took it after the, you know, I love college basketball. I like Richie McKay's weird haircut. You know, I don't want to hate on him too much, but he has an interesting looking haircut. He has the glasses. He looks like a supervillain. Like, he looks like an evil villain that you'd see in like Phineas and Ferb, and he's just a good coach. He's the perfect villain coach for UTEP, and I just had to snag a picture with him. So, you know, this Liberty program in football, basketball, whatever it is, they always have good games with UTEP. Their fans on Twitter always clash with the UTEP Twitter, so this is like the perfect new and it, Sal just got the picture of me and Richie McKay, but this is like the perfect like These teams have no reason to be rivals. They have no reasons to be rivals, yet they are. They represent how college sports has changed over the years, that a team in Lynchburg, Virginia, and a team in El Paso, Texas, are now budding rivals. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, like, this is also a short-lived rivalry, right? Like, maybe you could rank this as the second-best rivalry in the 2020s for UTEP, regardless of what the future entails or holds in Mountain West, unless you want to maybe throw New Mexico if UTEP has some great matchups between the Lobos within the next 4 years. But this is, like, front-runner for sure to be the second biggest rivalry right behind New Mexico State. I'm talking UTEP and Liberty. And I think we need Grok to help out with your super villain assessment or characterization on Richie McKay. Like, I think you can ask Grok to make him look like a Marvel villain or something like that, and throw one of those photos, maybe even the photo with you and him in that. And like, it's like kind of like that cartoonish thing that you were talking about, where it's Richie McKay, the crazy hair. He just looks like he got out of bed or something like that, with how he looks every single day. But he goes out there, gets out of bed, and wins basketball games. So that's what Richie McKay does. The last year they were, you know, the winners out of Conference USA. This year they're atop the league for sure. 14-3 overall, 6-0 in conference play. You know, if you're an eternal optimist and you want to believe the glass is half full with this UTEP basketball season, and that, you know, all the doom and gloom needs to get out of here, then I need to see you show up on that Saturday game if they win. Because if UTEP ends up winning this game on Saturday and kind of pulling off, I guess this kind of upset right here in conference play, this would propel them extremely moving forward. And I was doing the math. I mean, I talked to you off air, Sal. 8 of their last 14 games, I should say, will be at the Don Haskins Center. And yep, if the Miners can start winning some games under their belt, maybe they go, you know, a little bit higher than the bottom of Conference USA and avoid that, you know, horrible thought of possibly missing the conference tournament. I think 8 of the next 14 being at home is a big thing for UTEP. And if they were somehow able to steal a game like this one against Liberty, I mean, sure, that would be huge for this squad.
Yeah, if they can play similarly to how they played tonight, and that's give themselves a chance and not shoot themselves in the foot, they're going to have a pretty good chance, to get over the hump in games like that. And in Conference USA, if you're a home team, you pretty much have a better chance of winning. But just going into the game against Liberty, Agent, I'm trying to think back, and it makes me, you know, look back to, like, what was the last really good Conference USA team who was undefeated that UTEP had a crack at, or you know, a big win streak? And I think the last one that comes to mind, I don't know if Zay would agree with me, would be North Texas when they snapped that win streak here at the Haskins Center.
Oh, that's a good point. Zay, any thoughts on that one right there as, like, hottest team UTEP plays in conference play this way?
Yeah, I think the North Texas one was really, really good, because they came in, they were, like, riding, like, a 14-game win. It was crazy. Like, they were an at-large bid if they win that game, like, regardless of what happened in the Conference USA tournament. But I think, without a doubt, it was when FAU was ranked and they came to town. That year,
yeah,
with Elijah Martin, all those guys, they were ranked. That was an exciting one. I think that was probably the most recent one. But those two, Florida Atlantic and North Texas, they were a year apart. So, yeah, I agree.
I'm looking at 1 year, which it wasn't too long ago. So North Texas was 2021-22. Florida Atlantic, that great run. I'm trying to look at that one with when that year was. I believe
it.
Yeah, the year. Okay, so the year after, you're saying 2022-23. So I'm seeing one, UAB 2021. They were a really good team that year with Andy Kennedy, 9-1 when they played the Miners on Saturday, February 2nd, in conference play. They were also 16-2. So, I mean, I would say this. Like, this is also just another reflection on how different this conference is. Before, it was teams like, it was teams like UAB, North Texas, who were atop this league. Now it's teams like Liberty, who rule this conference based on NIL and money that the Flames have. So it's just interesting how things have changed. And then the Miners are joining a conference next year in the Mountain West, where you have schools like New Mexico, Nevada, UNLV, and Grand Canyon spending millions in NIL for basketball. and UTEP. Like, UTEP's going to be kind of outside looking in for that NIL kind of fund. So, I'm curious to see how different things are when they move to the Mountain West. And this being kind of like that last dance of a season for UTEP basketball, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to reflect back on these matchups. I mean, tonight, you know, you play a team in Delaware, Sal, that UTEP's never played before in the program's history, both sides. These schools have never played each other. Why? Why would a team in Newark, Delaware play a team in El Paso, Texas? Geographically, it makes no sense. But tonight, it made sense because they're in the same conference.
If you would have told me, like, maybe it's an on-site, pre-semifinal or something for some preseason tournament, okay, I can understand that. But no, Conference USA, like, just go back 10 years saying, yeah, UTEP's going to visit Delaware in a Conference USA game. Oh, cool. What about that really good basketball team from the state of Tennessee? Oh, you mean Middle Tennessee? Yeah, instead of Memphis. So I don't know, man. A lot's been changing in these, in the last 10, 15 years in Conference USA. So it's not out the question. Who knows what's next? I mean, they have a conference member in Illinois next year.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, like, UAB. They traded UAB in Birmingham, Alabama, to then Jacksonville State, Jacksonville, Alabama. So, yeah, it's kind of funny geographically how, yeah, it's changed, but maybe it's a little bit the same, you know, and just different parts of, you know, all these different states that UTEP is traveling to at a Conference USA, which, by the way, makes no geographic sense. And for, you know, even for the team tonight, having to make that travel over to Lynchburg, Virginia, and this travel trip will require, that's a lot to ask for any team. And for the Miners to be out 2,000 plus miles away from home and get a victory tonight, I know it's against the worst team in Conference USA, but UTEP was in that conversation for the bottom of this conference. So for them to get a win tonight, 70-69, you know, I'll give them credit. I'll say this is a good win for them, because any win is a good win when you're talking about this UTEP squad right here, which is now 6-11. 915-505-6009. A couple tweets to get to here on the program. Manny David checking in. Nice road win tonight. Still taking this season one game at a time. On to the next. Tough game at Liberty on Saturday. Just hoping they can keep it close. Looking forward to UTEP men's basketball being back in the Dawn next week. Jason Paul, unpopular opinion. I think the Sun Bowl is a great place to watch a game. Have seen many, but UTEP is never going to be a good football or men's basketball team until they get a large NIL deal funding from one of the cartels across the border. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. That was going somewhere, and I didn't look at the end of it, but that was going somewhere, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I was like, oh, where's this going? And then it's like the cartels across the border. Can I just say the NIL deal, period? Can I just say they're never going to be as competitive for football or men's basketball until they get a large NIL deal, period? Just use the punctuation right there.
Leave it at that,
Leave it at that, exactly. Here we go. Joe Chacone got the dub. Let's get some more now. Best part of the broadcast was here. 52. David Van Dyke brought back so many memories. Hashtag reppin' from El Chuco now. Hashtag Zay all the way. Adrian is my Brodus. Sal is my pay, not pal, pay. And where's Pinky is what Joe Chacone asks. Good stuff, Joe Chacone. Manny David. I've always said UTEP Liberty always brings back memories of the old UTEP BYU rivalry. Maybe we can look to another brawl like back in 1985. Definitely looking to booing the heck out of Colin Porter. I'm telling you, man, that headband is ridiculous. Take off the headband, man. What is it doing? It's not taking any of that hair away. Take the headband off. It's ridiculous. And he's got the big headband, the like quarterback swear. That's the thing I have a problem with, Zay. It's not like a basketball subtle headband. It's the big headband that quarterbacks wear in the NFL or college football. Like, I get that. Cade McConnell used to wear our pal one of those. Quarterbacks wear that because of their helmet, not because they're playing some basketball.
There was like in 2018, there was like a rave of the headbands like that, but they were like the ninja ones. And I feel like he's secretly still wearing, they got banned. They got banned in the NBA, banned the NCAA, but I feel like he's still wearing the same ninja headbands with the little tie on the back, except nobody can see it because he has the long hair in the back. Then he has the headband, and, you know, I just feel like he's the type of guy to do that, you know?
I feel like he is. Yeah, I feel like that's right. Sal, any comments on this right here? The headband gate with Colin Porter.
He's got the Trevor Lawrence. That's what's going on over there, man. And
he's
throwing it
from
long range too. So no, man, it's so crazy because, you know, you hate him and then he just drains the three in your face. So I know people may say we're hating, but no, it comes from a good place.
Mr. E at Mr. E 77. Liberty equals BYU in the 80s, early 90s. Gonna miss playing them. It's a rivalry. Straight hate at 600 ESPN El Paso. I'll tell you this, guys. There are people out there who absolutely hate Liberty for what they did in the football side of things. Let's not forget. I mean, this is a program right here. When they won the Conference USA football championship, hired a local mariachi group to go out and play for them in the Sun Bowl inside the locker room. Like, that moment won't be forgotten right there. Zay and Sal, that's a bad look on all sides right there.
Yeah, I mean, if UTEP wanted to get back for that, this was the year, right? They're never going to play Liberty again in football. And this was a down year for the Flames. Like, UTEP had an opportunity to host them here in a down year for Liberty. And, well, we all know what happened in that one. UTEP scored like 6 points, so, you know?
Yeah, good point. Good point. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. A couple other thoughts to get to here on the program today. I really also want to get into some UTEP football conversations here on the program. But let's talk player by player real quick. KJ Thomas finished today, 31 minutes. He was in foul trouble, 9 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 turnover. Unpopular opinion. I think... I'm starting to buy into the KJ Thomas, not because he's my only player on my UTEP fantasy team right now, but because I truly believe that as a sophomore, our expectations were maybe a little high coming out of the gate this season, and somebody who's now playing routine starting minutes for the Miners is starting to contribute and make less mistakes. So for that, he had a late tough bucket where he was aggressive driving to the basket and made a layup, standing on 2 feet, as John Teicher will remind you there. And I'm just going to say it, guys. I'm starting to become more of a fan of KJ Thomas. Like, I think he's buying into it. I think you guys might refute some of this right here, but I'm going to be on Thomas Island. And I know it doesn't have the beachfront properties just yet, but I'm on this island and I'm cool with it. Any comments from either of you guys?
I've joined the island with you. Look, KJ Thomas, he's got a lot of growing pains, but we had the conversation last Miner Talk. Are our expectations of him a little bit high for a sophomore who is really getting his first real intense minutes this year? Like, I think my expectations were a bit high. I think I was being a little bit too harsh on him, and he's gotten better. I still think he needs to get better off the ball, so playing with Caleb Blackwell when he's the primary ball handler. But he looks good, you know, for a backup point guard, or, you know, for a shooting guard here and there. He's getting some buckets, so and like his defense has gotten a lot better too. So I'm on that island with you. I don't think it's a beachfront property. I had to buy something more in mainland because I'm not all in just yet, but you know, I might sell my mainland one for beachfront, and hopefully that property value goes up.
Amarillo, so maybe we could say a farm. We've got a farm out there, out at KJ Thomas Island, so just need more population on that island. Caleb Blackwell, 15 points in this one, 4 for 7 from beyond the arc, by the way. Four three-pointers is huge for UTEP, but I just the 5 for 11 from the floor isn't great. Like, I want him. Is it wrong of me to ask for more from Caleb Blackwell? And I think the answer is yes, because he's still working his way back from that injury he suffered. He had 2 steals today in 36 minutes of action, almost played the entire game. So I think I answered my own question, but any comments for Caleb Blackwell, who 15 points, 5 for 11, 4 three-pointers in 36 minutes of action. I want more, guys, from him, and I don't know if we're going to get more, and maybe those expectations are too high.
I mean, you might get more if games kind of, you know, continue the way that they continue today, and he continues to stay out there on the floor. 36 minutes, that's really impressive in a game where those minutes are valuable too. So I think the stock is only going to go up for Blackwell. And also, we got to remember there's other guys who are shooting a ton too. I mean, Jones is getting 14 shots today. Jamal West goes 7 for 9, and Kasim 17 shots to his credit. So I mean, there's a lot of shots to go around, and he's still getting, you know, double-digit shots as well. So I think I'm cool with the usage for now, but I do think it should improve a bit, though.
Kasim the Dream. We already mentioned the nickname. 20 points, 7 for 17. He's probably the bright spot of the entire team. 8 rebounds, struggled in the first half. Can you imagine if he had a good first half? Like, he may have hit 30 points, which would have been UTEP's first 30-point game in a while. But I just felt like he was on fire in the second half, and he could do this. He can catch fire. And when he does, just keep feeding Kasim. Like, that's what you need to do if you're UTEP. And he played almost the entire game, too. 37 minutes of action, Kasim Watson. Very aggressive in the second half, and he was unbenchable. That's not a word, but he was unbenchable in the second half the way that he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's like you said, he was a must-play. Like, this guy, they're throwing it to him. It used to be Jamal West, right? UTEP needs a bucket, and it still really is. You saw at the end, they try to get it in the low post to Jamal, and, you know, he turns around that whole, you know, out of bounds on UTEP, out of bounds on Delaware. Who will ever know? But I still think that Kasim Watson, he's going to grow into that number one role. He's going to start being that go-to guy. And, yeah, he easily could have had 30 if he didn't have as slow as a first half as he did. But he's hitting his shots. He's lengthy. I've said it before. He's a three-level scorer. And we like to make the funny comparison, but his game is really similar to, you know, at least offensively, you see some Kevin Durant just because he moves so fluidly as a lengthy big man, and he has good handles. So I'm excited. I mean, that turnaround mid-range jumper that he hits every once in a while, like, that gets me excited. That's a good bucket, and I really like what I've seen out of Kasim the Dream Watson. I love that name.
Me too. I like it. Kasim the Dream. I think it's just like when he hits a big shot, it's just Kasim the Dream. And then when he puts his punctuation on a game like he did in this one, it's Kasim the Dream Watson. So good stuff, Zay, with the nickname. Jamal West Jr., I said it before, but the trio of Kasim Watson, Jamal West Jr., and Elijah Jones has to be productive in order for UTEP to win games. And both those guys found their way for buckets. Jamal West Jr. tonight, 16 points. Elijah Jones, 10. I like the way they worked an inside-out game. They were pushing the ball inside the paint, and then Jamal West Jr. would go out and dish it to the outside for a wide open 3-point bucket. So 16 points, 10 rebounds for Jamal. Elijah with 10 points, but also he contributed with 3 blocks in 31 minutes of action. Guys, those are your bulk of the minutes. They went with for the first time ever, guys, they went with a shorter rotation outside of Trey Horton getting 18 minutes off the bench. Really, no one played outside of those starting five. Bobby Montgomery Jr. had a minute. L.A. Hayes only 4 minutes. Cassius Brooks with 7 minutes off the bench. They rolled with their starting five, and they got all their production from their starting five in this matchup.
Yeah, and another interesting fact, too, 60 total shots for the team. And, you know, just looking at it, all but 3 of them come from the starters. So 57 out of 60 shots. That utilization was crazy today.
Yeah, I mean, they're riding those starters in the best way they can for this conference stretch. And I like the method in this way. It's kind of like throw the kitchen sink at this game and then try their best in this next matchup when they're going to be clearly going up against a team who, you know, is a superior on paper in the Liberty Flames. That's just how it is. Guys, any final thoughts on the Miners being, you know, trying to get into the top 10 of the 12 teams in the league? I didn't know this. We mentioned it briefly before, but I really didn't know that Conference USA was going to be a 10-team tournament, not 12. So bottom two teams miss out regardless. And yeah, I said it earlier, Miners take a step forward to avoid missing this league tournament. It's a long season, but this was a win in the right direction for this. But any final thoughts on that as we kind of close the conversation out with UTEP's UTEP basketball and kind of avoiding the bottom of the conference? Any final thoughts there?
I think you're just past the first quarter of conference play, so it's still early, but the time to get separation from that bottom two is definitely now. Like, if the season ends today, by default, I know they're in a, what is it, like, four-way tie or something with the 2-4 record, but they're at the bottom of all of those teams if the season were to end today. So the sooner they can get out of that, the better, because you don't want to be, you know, on the brink of being, you know, the bottom two or whatever it is towards the end of the season when this is a really bad conference, and that separation, even for an average team, would be made right away.
Yeah, I can back that, and I just think that when you're putting UTEP in the pool of all the bottom feeder teams in this league, like Sam Houston, New Mexico State, FIU, you just got to try to steal some of those games on the road too, whether it's against the Aggies, the Panthers, the Bearcats, even, like I said before, the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State, who are 3-3 in league play. Like, make those teams the worst team in the conference and not you as UTEP. So that's how you kind of have to look at it. Quickly, let's go to UTEP football, but before we do that, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. We'll close out with some final comments coming up here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Along with Zay and Sal, I'm Adrian. We're continuing. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. A couple final mentions here on Twitter and X. This coming in late from Herman Flores. Yay, we are 6-11. I sense some sarcasm there on that comment, but no problem. I get it. And by the way, for anybody who's listening to this and saying, wow, Adrian, Zay, and Sal are way too positive after this Minor Talk, know where we stand. It doesn't change where we think this team is at right now. Although I will say, 8 of the next 14 at home could make this record of 6-11 maybe look a lot better down the stretch. And to our point earlier in the season, wondering, could UTEP get to 10 wins on the season? Seems like they should surpass that and probably go closer to 12, guys. Anybody else have any different thoughts on that? They're 6-11 right now. They've got 14 games left. It's hard to think UTEP can at least win 5 of those. Like, I want to say at least 11, 12 wins for this team.
You know, yeah. At first I was on the fence about it, but I think UTEP can eke out maybe 6 more wins, get to 12. I don't know, though. You know, we'll see. We'll see if they win the games that they're supposed to win. They win like 75% of the games that they're supposed to win. So I'm saying, like, everybody on the bottom tier of Conference USA, if you can win like 70% of those, especially if they're at home, and maybe snag one on the road, maybe beat someone you're not supposed to, I can see them getting maybe 12 or 13 wins.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, let's quickly go over to football. Who's going to play quarterback for this football team? I have no clue. I have not seen a lot of news for UTEP football as far as any quarterbacks that they're hosting, they're targeting, anything like that. I think this is the time of year where you got to be quiet, because as soon as they were on KJ Cooper and he announced that he was going to be on a visit here to UTEP, all these teams suddenly jumped on board and grabbed the former Pebble Hills quarterback, who is now committed to University of South Florida. Miners just got, he just was scooped away from UTEP. And in between this time, UTEP's gone out and signed players like Royal Capel, who transfers over from Oklahoma State, plays wide receiver. They got a guy from Lincoln College. He's an offensive lineman who might be a plug-and-play guy based on his size and the way that he was able to play last year at a lower level. Latristan Thompson, we talked a little bit about him last week, and he got a chance to sign with the Miners here right now. But the quiet part of UTEP football right now might be based on them trying to be as secretive as they can with some of these guys. And in the world that we live in, you two, it's just like everybody, all these coaches are living on Twitter. If you're going to go and make a trip to UTEP, then some of these Power Four schools will talk themselves into thinking, well, hey, if we go out there and pay this guy money in NIL, maybe he'll say yes. And for some of these athletes, that's what they're out for. They're out for getting the most money that they can at this level, capitalizing on the most, revenue that they can get at this level and trying to cash out the best way possible. Today we heard the news that a running back that they were really high on, that they were really looking out for, who was played at Virginia Tech last year, who was committed to UTEP, Jeremiah Coney, has now decommitted from UTEP. He announced earlier today that he's going to reopen his recruitment process. Guys, it just feels like, I don't want to say tampering necessarily, but maybe so. I mean, the UTEP is having to be as quiet as possible with all they're doing on the UTEP football recruiting side of things.
Oh man, it makes you wonder too, like, how long after saying, hey, I'm going XYZ place, does it take can there be something in place to honor that? But then also, too, was there anything signed, whatever the case was? I don't know. Makes you wonder about a lot about what's going on out there. But I don't know, man. This kind of sucks because this was rumored to be like the bell cow, right? The prize recruit so far for this transfer portal. And just like that, it's gone.
Just like that, it's gone. And for you, Zay, you tell me, like, what do you think of the secrecy?
You know, there's so much that happens behind the scenes, like tampering. It happens everywhere. It happens. I'm pretty sure UTEP has probably hit up some D2 guys and be like, hey, we'll give you this much, or we'll give you some playing. You know, tampering happens everywhere. It's a part of the game now. I mean, there's nobody. What are they going to do, report it? Someone's going to tell their coach? Like, no, the NCAA is not going to do anything about it. So there's a lot of other things that go on behind the scenes. And I think we'll see what happens with Jeremiah. What was it, last? Coney?
Yeah, Coney. Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. I mean, he decommits from UTEP. Did he get another offer? Did maybe UTEP find another running back they like and say, hey, sorry? You know, there's so many little things that happen behind the scenes that I'm not sure.
Well, Zay, I'm just going to quick follow-up on that. Jeremiah Coney or not, it's still Cam Thomas's running back room, and I don't think anybody can argue otherwise with me until I see another running back step up.
I agree. And, you know, it's Cam Thomas and Elijah McCoy. There's only three running backs on this roster. I think Marcus Taylor entered the portal today, so, you know, they're running low on running backs. They're going to have to get one regardless. But, yeah, I do think this is Cam Thomas's room. And I think they like Elijah McCoy. You know, he played a little bit his freshman year. We'll see, you know, if he plays as a redshirt freshman next year. Speaking of which, 9 games for a redshirt now.
Wow. 9 games for a redshirt? You're kidding me. That's a new rule that happened?
Yes. The college coaches voted on it, and it was almost unanimously passed. 9 games for a redshirt now. It used to be 4.
Oh, man.
So you basically can play a full – it's basically 5 years, you know. That's really what it is.
Yeah, everybody gets a 5th year. Why would you ever play a true freshman? It also tells me if you have like a really good true freshman and you're on a really good team like an Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, you name it, you play the guy starting the whatever the, you know, descending or in the descending order it is for like the 5th game of the year, so then he can go with you for the college football playoff and then maybe still come back the next season, which is actually like crazy to even strategize with. But there you go. There you have it. Sal, I want to, you know, a quick UTEP news point. And I love our guy, UTEP News, by the way. He is a friend of our program, and he makes hilarious posts. But this is like a PSA, because I want to believe that our Minor Talk listeners are really smart. Like, there's a reason why, you know, there's not a ton of people calling after a UTEP win, because we have a smart, you know, listening base. And UTEP is a really smart fan base, by the way, as it stands. UTEP fans are, as far as basketball goes, they are some of the most educated fans you can get with the sport. But why does everybody fall for UTEP News's tweets? Like, how does the Chad Warner PED huge looking arms quarterback get over 2 million views and all these comments and all these people who think it's legit? 213 comments, 360 retweets, 2 million views on that tweet that absolutely blew up for UTEP News.
You know what? I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to flip it around and give credit to the people who respect a good troll post and people who continue to read the room and go with it. I'm not going to say everybody's that way. I'm going to say it's probably like 65, 35 who knew what was going on and went with it. So I'm going to give that side the props. But 35% is a lot in my mind still. You got to love it when you get a good troll job out there.
Zay, I think now like 70% of what I read on Twitter is fake. Like, just because of everything that we see, AI, different posts, Sentinel, who got a couple people before but can't get anybody now that he doesn't post anything about UTEP. Like, this is I like to believe our fan base on Minor Talk is a little bit smarter than falling for stuff like this. And like Sal says, rolling with the joke, like rolling with some of the funny humor that's out there.
I mean, it's so easy to, like, spread the misinformation like online now, and you literally, you know, most people, you have to just check the bio. Like if you check a person's profile, you'll see like, oh, it's a joke. But people are lazy. Like they'll just read something and be like, oh, it's true. You know, they'll see an obviously fake picture of Chad Warner with these huge, and like the quote is even funnier. Like the quote is like, he ate a bunch of Rib Hut because his girlfriend broke up with him. Like
that's going through a breakup. Yeah.
Like, and people just read that and were like, you know, it makes sense to me. Like, it's so easy to fool people online these days. And you got to give a shout out to the originator, really, of sports misinformation, NBA Central. Like, this guy was on 2022, 2023. And, you know, the good way of, like, being a good parody account is you mix in some truth. Like, you mix in real posts every once in a while, and then people will be like, oh, this is guy, you know, he knows everything. Like, I got to believe the next thing he says. And that's how you fool people. And UTEP News, he's perfected it. He's perfected it.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is UTEP News has also dropped some actual news or like some actual like pertinent stuff. I mean, it's not like he hasn't. I'll say like 85 to 90% of all of his stuff isn't legit, like it's just a joke. But also, like, I knew it was a joke from day one. That's why, you know, it's a funny audience or like it's a funny community. And when you see people jump on board, like, no way, this could be real. UTEP needs to be investigating for giving PEDs to players. I'm like, chill out. And then the Central one, like, UTEP is, are they really being investigated by the FBI? Like, okay, chill out, dude. Like, we'd see this on like national news. Like, no need to aggregate this
game would
K-Fox
not be going
or anybody
on right
like
now.
That yeah, no need to write an article about how the FBI is going to deny a comment about this fake article or fake post that was you know, posted on social media. It's hilarious. The misinformation is a bit dangerous, I will say. I can't even imagine. I've never asked a coach or a player like, hey, when you guys see this, like, what do you think? But I bet it doesn't feel great, right?
It probably doesn't, but also, too, we're kind of like, what was it, like 2002 or something when Santel started? That's a good 3 years or so. We're 2026 now, so 3 years and some change. That's a good amount of experience. So you got to be well-seasoned at this point. There's Santels all over the place. There's, like, young boy accounts all over the place. So, I mean, you got to be hip to it. You got to be following a couple of these, too. Some of the stuff is great.
Zay, is Chad Warner, Kavika Johnson, or TJ Goodwin in his college career? Like, where is he? Because I don't know what to even think about a sophomore quarterback like this, who might be the only quarterback other than Bodie Weaver on this roster right now.
That's an interesting pair of guys that you guys need named. I mean, I like Kavika, but we all know how that story ends out, and we all know how TJ.
Well, he was productive, but he was productive, right? He actually saw the field.
He was productive, but is Chad, like, is UTEP, is one of UTEP's quarterbacks, one of the two UTEP quarterbacks on the team, like, if you tell me that in his future he's going to end up as a receiver, I'm thinking, who's going to play quarterback this year? And I have no clue. I have no clue what's next. I mean, this UTEP team needs a quarterback, and I feel like they've swung and missed a couple of times. That I'm losing faith. I'm losing faith in, like, are they just going to have to go and get a desperate D2 guy that wasn't even that good? Like, where are they at? You know, signing day's coming up. You know, it's in a few weeks, so I'm all ears. I'm all on Twitter looking for everything, but I think they're going to keep whoever they get under wraps. They have to bring someone in, though, right?
If you had – okay, if today, and I'm saying this right now, on January 15th, if you could take Skylar Locklear guaranteed – on your first game in August, or get the unnamed quarterback out of the portal right now, where are you going? Like, guarantee Skylar Locklear right now, which isn't going to happen. I'm just hypothesizing, and there's zero, like, you know, tail or traction to that. Or would you take the field and say, hey, with whatever's left, I'd rather whatever's left to take a chance on that?
I feel like the responsible thing is saying Skylar, right? But That ship has sailed. You know, that ship has sailed. Like, I know that this is, like, hypothetically, like, if Skylar, you know, but I feel regardless, like, that would just be weird. The ship has sailed. I think you go out and take a risk on whoever else is left, even if, you know, chances are they're probably going to be worse than Skylar now.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, a guy with less like starts under his belt, less experience, maybe more like hype and excitement versus actual, you know, on-field experience. And I think I, at this point, I'd rather a guy, even out of the JUCO ranks or the Division II ranks or whatever, FCS ranks, whatever you want to say, with a ton of starts under his belt, like a ton of experience. That's what I would, you know, prefer going into a better conference like the Mountain West. But good little UTEP football segment here on the program. Guys, I appreciate it for both of you all. Hey, I just want to give one more shout-out to Jack in the Box here, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk, 915-505-6009. I didn't see this, but we got Thomas, who's going to join us here next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009, if you want to duck in the late call. Thomas, good evening, man. Thanks for giving us a call. How's it going?
Hey, good evening, guys. How's it going? Just wanted to shout out Kasim the Dream, man. He did a great game tonight. He did spectacular. You know, he's one of the best players on this team. Love the nickname. Looking at looking more out like they're like Kareem, man. But damn, you know, UTEP gotta keep going. But they're gonna make it to the tournament, I believe that. And they're probably gonna, you know, win the whole thing.
All right, Thomas. Tonight. I feel like from your mouth to God's ears. I hear you, man. Kasim, you like the Kasim the Dream, though. You like that nickname. I appreciate your understanding for that one right there. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a great nickname. I just cruise around, just listen to UTEP game, listen to you guys. Just close game, right? But they're not as consistent as they should be, but I believe in them.
Okay. Thomas, let's see how they do for the rest of this year, man. Appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. Thomas is joining us here on the phone lines as we wrap up and wind down Minor Talk. Zay, I'm going to throw it your way. Do we have fantasy ready to go? He just
dipped out. Yeah, he went to the women's game.
Oh, okay, nice. Good for Zay. Women's basketball on deck right now for UTEP basketball. We'll come up with some fantasy stats here coming up on Saturday. Miners taking on Liberty along with Zay and Sal. Missouri State, by the way, leading UTEP at the Don Haskins Center, 45-38. Women need a win in the biggest way possible here in the second half. So let's see if they can pull out this win here tonight. But want to say special thanks to you, Sal. Want to say special thanks to Zay. And we will be back in action on Saturday. That's how we'll wrap up here the show on Minor Talk here on the program. Special thanks to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor, and also Thomas Adams Apparel, one of our other sponsors here on Minor Talk, and we'll give more information about those Minor Talk hats here soon enough. But for Sal, for Zay, I'm Adrian. We're signing off here tonight. We'll be back in action coming up here on Saturday for another edition of Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.